This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brigitte Gabriel, author most recently of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She's also the founder of Act for America, which can be found at actforamerica.org. Brigitte is of Lebanese descent. She's a terrorism expert, and we want to get her thoughts today on why she is vigorously opposed to the idea of this so-called pastor in Florida burning Qurans on the 9/11 anniversary, what impact that could have in the Islamic world, and why it usually draws this type of reaction in the Islamic world. And Brigitte, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me with you.
Well, you released a statement earlier in the week very much condemning this idea. What type of impact could an act like this, a burning of a Quran or multiple Qurans at this church or anywhere else, have on the Islamic world? What would the likely reaction be?
It will have a huge impact, and I did not condemn it because of the impact that it will have overseas. I believe instead of burn the Quran Day to commemorate 9/11, what we should have is an open educational forum on the Quran discussing its Sharia teaching, its jihad commandments, its statement on infidels, and its doctrine of taqiyya and abrogation. We in America, Craig, do not burn books. We discuss them and learn from them, even if we do not agree with what's in them. We teach our children to respect the written word as a learning experience to enhance and better their lives with wisdom and knowledge. So this is why I issued the statement that I issued yesterday. But the impact of what he is going to do is going to have, you know, deadly consequences around the world. And it's not only going to be against our troops who are serving in the Middle East can protect themselves. They have the guns, they have the machinery, they have the equipment. But who's going to pay a price are the innocent people who are the missionaries, the aid workers, the doctors who are working in Muslim countries, and the minorities who live in those countries, like the Christians in Egypt, for example, the Copts, or the Coptic Assyrians in Iraq, or the Assyrians in Syria, or in those other places. I think this is uncalled for. I think the pastor is doing it to basically create the controversy, and he did. He already accomplished the attention that he needed, and I think right now what we need to do is, instead of burning the Quran, is let's sit down, call a press conference, and initiate a debate about what is written in the Quran that is driving these crazies around the world to kill innocent people in the name of their religion.
Brigitte, follow up on that a little bit, because obviously the discussion could take a very long time. But in terms of the general principles outlined in the Quran that you would incorporate into this dialogue, what does it specifically say? Because you got a lot of people on different sides of this debate saying the Quran says a whole lot of different things when it comes to violence, infidels, and everything else along those lines.
A great question, and this is exactly why I want people to discuss what's written in the Quran. Yes, the Quran says a lot of things, but there's a law in the Quran. You know, there are so many verses in the Quran, especially the Muslims quote you, the verses that say that the Christians and the Jews are the people of the book. But there are also verses in the Quran later, like Surah 9, for example, which says killing the infidels, destroying them, doing this and that to them, cut off their fingers and toes, smite them, cut off their heads. In the Quran, there is the law of abrogation, and nesh wal mansukh. If there are two verses in the Quran contradicting each other, the latter verse replaces the first verse, and the latter verse becomes the law. And this is exactly why the what we call radicals in the West, those who are the jihadists doing all the killing, they are literally following in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad and his commandments, and the Quran allows them to kill the infidels. Because under the law of abrogation, the later verses of the Quran are the law. And this is what they are using as their justification for their unconscionable acts of murder. I believe that the more Americans are informed about this, Craig, the more they will be able to understand why we need to rise against the radical Islam, why we need to call the reformers in Islam to rise up and reform their religion and fight the radicals. We cannot fight this war on our own. We need the reformers within Islam to develop the backbone to rise up and fight the radicals.
A couple more questions for Brigitte Gabriel before we move along. And Brigitte, you mentioned that this discussion goes all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad. After he brought forth the Quran in the 7th century, how did he and his followers specifically treat those of other faiths?
He treated them with violence. Listen, Muhammad became a military warrior after the year of the Hijra, where he immigrated to Medina. And that's when all the battles in Islam in conquering other nations. He himself participated in at least 26 battles as a military leader, not just as a prophet. You know, this is not like Jesus, you know, what we're talking about here. And this is what makes Islam a political movement, not only a religion. It's a totalitarian regime. And after after Prophet Muhammad began conquering the other areas in Arabia, the Jews and the Christians, they became second-class citizens under Islam. Jews and Christians became dhimmi. They could stay practicing their religion, but the only way they were able to practice their religion was by becoming second-class and paying the jizya, or the protection tax, put on them. In many areas, Christians and Jews had to pay their taxes on a monthly ceremony, where a Jew would kneel on his knee and hand his goods to the imam, where the imam would grab him by his beard and hit him on his cheek, on his face, to remind him of his humiliation. In many areas, they were given receipts to wear around their neck as they walked across town to show that they paid their protection tax. Christians and Jews were not allowed to build churches. They were not allowed to ring church bells. They were not allowed to blow the shofar. They were not allowed to pray in public. Islam dominated basically most of the earth's surface for 1400 years, and by the time the reign of Islam was over, 270 million people died as a result throughout the history of Islam because they were considered infidels and they were killed. I think this is the history that the Western world needs to understand, because this is the history that is driving the radicals to revive the Islamic empire and subjugate everybody else under their religion, or what they believe is the true Islam that should reign supreme.
A couple minutes left with Brigitte Gabrielle. And Brigitte, as this whole Quran burning controversy, or the plans to do so on the 9/11 anniversary, becomes more and more discussed in the public sphere, as we mentioned before, one of the big concerns is that this could incite great violence and great reaction in a very negative way in the Islamic world. Why is it that, while I'm sure Christians and Jews, if their holy books, the Bible or the Torah, were to be burned, they'd be outraged, they'd be upset, they would protest, but it doesn't seem to be the same way when there's a Danish cartoon of Mohammed, or if this happens on Saturday, it's a very different, much more violent reaction. Take us inside their culture. Why is that the case?
Let me be very clear. This burning of the Quran this Saturday is completely different than drawing a caricature of Prophet Muhammad with a bomb on his head. This is talking about burning their holy books. And the reason why they take to the streets the way they do is that's the difference between a barbaric society and a civilized society. We in the civilized world use our language, use our tongue, use our education to debate issues, to discuss issues. When you look at the Islamic world, when you have 2/3 of women who are illiterate in the 21st century and 1/3 of men, these people have no point of reference to being civilized or educated. The only thing that they know how to react to is just like animals, basically lashing out, barking, screaming, killing, hurting others. And this is the ugly reality about what's happening in the world today, especially in the Islamic world. And that's where the moderate Muslims throughout the world need to rise up and say, it is the barbarians who are showing the worst face of Islam. And it is our duty as moderate Muslims to rise up and silence them. This is the reaction we need to see from the Islamic world. Again, this is the difference between us, a civilized world, a civilized people, and people who are uneducated, take to the streets basically based on their emotions, acting in a way that is completely irrational and completely filled with hatred. We in America are better than that.
Brigitte, unfortunately our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Brigitte Gabrielle, author of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She's also the founder of Act for America, found at actforamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.